Good morning, everybody. It is a brisk Monday, the 14th of November. Joining us this morning from the Humboldt, the new partially fenced Humboldt County Office of Ed, Michael Davies Hughes. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Brian.
Love the fence.
Well,
I know it's weird. I know it's only partial, but I love the new fence, the itty bitty holes. I think it has a chance to make it.
Well, I think so. That's the plan.
Well, and it's been over a week and it hasn't been cut.
It's been probably closer to a month.
Okay. Well, you haven't finished it yet.
No.
It looked like it was progress.
Well, that's what we'd like to do, incremental progress.
Yeah.
Just like we do with the kids.
Wouldn't want to increase public expectation too much to get it done within a week.
Well, you know, there's a supply chain issue. Oh. There are lots of factors that come into play there, Brian.
I see. Chain with chain link. I got it. All right. You hot rod. You ready for? Let's see if we can find some food one. There's a
something about food.
Okay, no.
No.
This category is called "This Makes Sense."
Well,
so that kind of heightens expectations. Are you ready?
I am destined to fail on this one, then.
Okay. Why do we use the phrase "rack one's brains"?
Oh my goodness.
I mean,
the mind
coming from the island where the rack was something that was employed.
Yes.
Perhaps there's a connection.
I know this sounds more like it should have been asked around Halloween. It sounds pretty.
Well, this is closer to Halloween than the last show you were here. So,
rack.
Okay.
Rack one's brain. Okay. Well, I'm thinking about the rack. It was a way in which to stretch somebody out. Right.
Okay.
To elongate them. So when we're racking one's brain, I would suspect it has something to do with stretching one's brain, like increasing that expectation or that burden on the brain. Okay, you're looking at me
you're so far off. You're stunningly close. That's what I'm befuddled.
You're befuddled with me this morning.
I'm befuddled with your response, yes.
Okay.
Since the beginning of modern times, Dutch craftsmen have been noted for skill and ingenuity. One of them invented a device used for stretching leather in the process of tanning. From turns conveying the idea of drawing out or stretching, got close to quartering, but no, it was given a name that later took the form rack. Civil authorities borrowed racks from tanners and adopted them for use in questioning suspects.
Mm.
With wrists tied... Okay, well, we don't need to go there.
No,
we
probably don't need to go there.
No other method was more effective or more widely used. All civilized nations eventually outlawed the instrument adopted from the leather trade. But by the time it became obsolete, it had made a lasting impression upon speech, which you might imagine. Consequently, to rack your brains in search of an answer is a form of mental torture. Not stretching.
Mm.
Torture.
Well, it sometimes is.
And I left out two paragraphs about the torture part.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay. Well, it's too early in the morning to be speaking about such things.
Racking one's brains?
Racking one's brains. Well, you know, sometimes stretching the brain is torture. It's hard to think sometimes, Brian. Especially first thing on a Monday morning.
So when I'm sitting there in a chair and I just start groaning, I'm racking my
brain.
You
are racking your brain, and we can hear it. The cogs turning.
Yeah, okay. We'll see if I get by with that one later on, huh? Oh, boy. So here we are. Elections are elections, and things are things. How's it been going the last little bit at schools?
It's been going really well, I think.
You're running into the COVID rebound or the new letter combinations?
Yeah. Well, actually, you know what? It's not just COVID. So there are a number of illnesses out there. The things we typically get
in the fall. The crud is back.
The crud is back. Yeah, the respiratory infection stuff is definitely out there. Combined with the flu, combined with COVID, we're seeing in schools, a lot of staff out, actually. Staff?
Do you guys track the different classifications, I guess? I mean, if it's regular old flu or crud or whatever you want to call it, or if it's, somebody's doing the virus thing, because every once in a while those numbers pop up. Does it really matter? For the educational purposes? I mean, kids in the chair, kids not in the chair, I would think would be the delineation.
That's the main thing, yeah. Right? Yeah, absolutely. There's still some requirements around tracking students who and staff who are positive for COVID. But really, it's about students in the chair. You know, when we have a certain number of students who are out due to a particular illness, that's something that we report to public health because that can indicate that there was an outbreak.
Know?
Or
Johnny's staying home today.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, be sure to take him down to the doctor and have him tested at public health because we need.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. Actually, it's more of the other way around. Like, we may get notified from public health saying, "Hey, you know, there's an outbreak of such and such going on."
Just community.
Could you? Yeah. Okay. When you are checking up on absences, could you ask families, "Is the student out due to blankety blank?"
So I would think, since most of us are not medical professionals, probably don't even play him in our dreams. What is it, Holiday Inn? And we don't stay at a Holiday Inn Express. Do you just ask for the symptoms? Say, you run it, you know, a sore throat, runny nose, something more significant than that, and just kind of ask for the symptoms and then track that?
Yeah. Yes, because, well, you know, our office staff in our schools, they're experts, right?
You guys are. Me as a parent is not. You know, you start asking me specifics, I'm just going to get lost.
They're experts in knowing what to ask to get the answer that they want. That's what they're experts in.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like manipulation to me.
No.
Oh, no, that's in the classroom setting. Sorry.
No. Not at all. It is. You know what it is? It's knowing your audience is what it is. It's about relationships.
Oh, so now you're going to turn and twist this thing around on me, huh? Know my audience.
Know your audience.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to reflect on that because the duck has flown. My audience knows what that means. KINS, news and information, I hope. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes, Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools. Snappy socks, dude.
Thank you. They
Is that
say
an RV sock?
They say camping. Bucks. Get out there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when it's 32 degrees.
With a campfire. Yeah, exactly. Since last we got together, there's been a number of releases of national testing. I guess either been formulated or at least been refined enough to be able to present to those of us outside the educational system.
Right.
They talked about the impacts of, I guess, the last 2 years, probably, maybe 2.5 years, depending
on
where your demarcation point is.
For sure.
And that testing scores are down throughout the country.
They are.
Okay. You know, and if it was just us, all right, everybody goes down, everybody goes up, everything's okay. But we've got this field called international. And that's kind of where the competition is these days.
Yes, it is.
When you hear those numbers coming out nationally or you see what's going on even locally, is there any kind of an accelerant you want to reach for and say, okay, this is going to help the kids get back up where your kids in Humboldt County need to be?
Yeah, I think it's tough to draw a comparison with the way things were in the past. But I think it is fair to draw a comparison to you know, where we want to be, or to look at where we want to be. And what we have to understand is that, you know, the 2.5 years of being impacted by COVID, and we could say that we're still being impacted by COVID, it's not something that we can fix in a year. I mean, we know that our students deserve the best right now. And it's not good enough to say, well, you know, in 5 years you'll be better, right? We've got to do what we can right now to push them as far as we can, but not push too far. It's kind of that rubber band, right?
And isn't that always a challenge in the classroom, Michael? Yeah, the kids that, and I guess I was either overwhelmed or bored. Depends on what the class was. If I was bored because we were teaching too slow, I'm checked out.
Yeah.
If I'm overwhelmed because you're going too fast,
right.
same.
Right.
So how do you get to that point so that the kids that need the oomph get it, and those that need the support get it? And I know that's part of being a teacher, but in a challenging situation like this or environment,
right.
everything would, I think, be magnified.
It is, and it's not just part of being a teacher, it's part of being a good teacher, right? A powerful teacher, an effective teacher. And that's where it's so important to be checking for understanding throughout your instruction. I mean, you know, we hear about effective instructors chunking their instruction up. So you're not going more than 5-7 minutes of you as a teacher providing instruction without you checking for understanding and getting feedback from students about, are you getting what we're talking about here?
Dialogue.
It can be. I mean, there are a number of ways of checking for understanding.
Well, sure.
The other way is, even when you are providing instruction, is that you are aware by observation, are your kids with you? Are they checking out? Who's checking out?
Have they hit the floor and snoozing?
There has to be a sense of urgency in our classrooms. Just like if you were to walk into a hospital ward in a ward that the individuals need to be attended to. Otherwise, they're going to get into critical condition. I think that we have that state in our schools. It's not an emergency, because there's a difference between emergency and urgency. And there has to be that sense of urgency. We cannot be apathetic to the fact that our students have significant learning gaps.
Now, is that different than what existed 10 years ago?
Yeah.
I would think that everything that you said, we could lift it, cut it, edit it back. Well, okay, we can't, but let's call it and say we could. Back 10 years ago, play the same thing, and the words would be the same.
Yes, they would. They would. But I think that the difference right now is that there's a collective awareness of this sense of urgency. And maybe in the past, people have said, oh, well, you know, that it's just the way things are, and, you know, we'll have to make some tweaks here and there. Now I think that there's an appetite for responding to this sense of urgency in the classroom.
So we've gone from lackadaisical to top priority.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say lackadaisical for everyone. I mean,
well, no, but if, yeah, okay, the schools are doing the best they can.
Societally.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Outside the classroom, that was kind of the concept. Easy for elementary school teachers to know each kid. You bump it to high school, mm-hmm. and now let's say, they still teach 5 classes, right, and get one off?
Yeah, most.
Okay,
depending on if they have a block schedule.
150 kids. The magnitude is a little bit more. The standard's still the same? How do they do it?
Oh, they work miracles, these high school teachers, right? Just to know the names.
Well, you got 45. Yeah, exactly. Okay, you're taking my lines now. You have 45 minutes. It's tough to get to know their names in the first couple weeks, let alone to know if they're up, down, feeling sideways, or anything else. Does it just take more time, or are high school teachers typically more attentive?
I wouldn't say that there's a difference in attentiveness. You are baiting me this morning. I tell you what.
You know, and you're a smart fish so far. You haven't taken it.
Doesn't taste so good.
Well, you know, watermelon mint.
Yes, I do appreciate the sparkling water this morning. I would say that they're just used to it. I mean, high school teachers, that's one of the things that I feel proud of just teachers in general in Humboldt County, is that they they do take the time to get to know every kid, whether it's a classroom of 25, 30 students in an elementary setting, or if it's a class that they see 150 students during the day. There is this sense of community within the school setting that teachers just, you know, they want to know their kids.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now,
live. Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. I'm done venting.
I'm glad you feel better.
Yeah. That was my rant break.
Michael I'm exhausted.
Davis Hughes is, alongside.
My brain feels racked.
You see, yeah. Okay, good. Nice attempt. We'll do it. We'll get her done. Yeah. Not to be confused with Rack of Lamb coming up to a holiday. Yeah.
Is that, I think it's more the turkey season, isn't it?
I hope so.
Rack of lamb?
Yeah.
These are all foreign concepts to me.
Well, what do you guys have? Like lamb? You have lamb.
We do.
Right? You don't have too many turkeys, though, do you?
A turkey at
back
Christmas.
The hometown?
The hometown, yes.
That was turkeys?
At Christmas time, yeah, it's turkey.
Oh, sorry, I was reading too much Dickens then. I thought it would be a goose.
Well, tough to catch those geese, you know. Those wild geese in the UK, they fly higher than they do here.
Well, you're better aim than we are here.
Get out your blunderbuss.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe they'll hit the foredeck, huh, when they land. That's funny. What is it? Totally off topic. We'll get back into
it. Well, you never do that.
I know.
This would be a departure.
Yeah. What is the most traditional holiday meal in Wales?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say that what we call lobscouse, it's a Welsh name, and it's a kind of bone marrow. So, you know, like a cow marrow that you would add water to, you would let it simmer all day. It's kind of a stew, and into that you would put braised beef or lamb, and then a bunch of different vegetables and potatoes. So,
kind stew of consistency, or like more like a gumbo?
More like a gumbo.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, we call it cowl. Cowl is like a soup or a stew.
Oh.
So
that's
kind of a traditional Welsh.
You
dish,
made it
winter time.
Are you able to make it here? You get the ingredients to match what you.
You know, it's
had at home.
Never like mom makes it. Right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, then at least you know where not to cross and just disappoint yourself.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Right.
So you just go back every once in a while, and
that's right, and get
your fill.
Get back.
All right.
Back in touch with myself.
You ready to get back? Back to education.
Back to education in the United States.
Yes.
Which is different than the education system in the UK.
Are there lessons? Notice the bad pun. Are there lessons that can be learned from the UK model to implement in America? Or are we so restricted either with funding requirements or testing requirements or union contracts that a lot of those things that might be applicable you really can't utilize?
Yeah, I would say a little bit the opposite. It's like what the UK might be able to learn from the United States. One of the things that students in the UK have to do, or at least they did, now remember, it's been a while since I've lived over there and I went to school, But when I was 16 years old, I had to make a choice on pretty much what I was going, whether I was going to go to like a college track, and I would take two or three subjects that would be specialized that would get me into college to take the course that I wanted to take.
Kind of like AP?
Yeah, kind of like AP, exactly, kind of like AP classes. Or I could go to a youth training scheme, like an internship, to do jobs training,
vocational.
Essentially vocational education, or I would go to a community college. So I had to make that choice at 16 years old.
So what was the community college? Did that leave both options available?
It did. Yeah. So after going to community college, then you could. But even in community college, it wasn't taking your GE. It really was pretty specialized even at that point. So you had to, at 16, kind of make a decision about your career goals, like what you wanted, what profession you wanted to go into.
Specific profession, not that you just wanted to go college track.
Exactly. So that's the difference here, is that you really have in the first 2 years of college here, where you go to four-year university, or if you go to a community college, you take those GEs, you get to experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can flip and flop, change majors. Really, it's very, very difficult to do that in the United Kingdom, because you kind of get into this track, and that is your entry point then to specialize once you get to university. And if you've, you know, if you've taken a track where, let's say, you're going into arts and design, and let's say
textiles,
that you were, sure,
okay,
and then you decide, you know what, actually, I'd rather be doing something in the sciences. I mean, really, you have to go kind of go backwards.
Yeah.
And retake those kind of AP equivalent classes to get onto that right track. So I think that the system here, where students have an opportunity to experiment with different subject areas, kind of dabble in these different areas to narrow their choices and their focus, I think it's a good system.
Well, with some of the schools that are impacted, I don't know how many are. I mean, that used... Oh, man, I don't want to do this. 40 years ago. I really don't want to use that as a reference, but there was a term called impacted. I don't know if it still exists or not. Where if you wanted to go, let's say, to Davis for veterinary.
Yes.
Okay, you had to kick it through the uprights from 70 yards away. That was impacted, and you really had to bring something to the table to get in there.
Right.
Berkeley's Business School was the same way.
Yeah.
Do those still exist in California?
We do have impacted programs.
So for those kids, don't they really have to kind of start getting in the track here, like when they're sophomores, to be sure they take the right classes and get the right grades so they can take the test and then qualify for some of those impacted areas?
Yeah, and that's where that counseling early in high school, whereas high school counselors are so important, to have those conversations with kids about what their future goals are. You know, so they can kind of get on track to want to go, you know, to go.
Well, it's kind of sort of with certain schools comparable.
Yeah, to a certain extent.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes from Humboldt County Office of Ed. We talked just before the break about impacted programs that are the college bound, the UCs, the advanced degrees.
Yeah.
Do vocational schools also have impacted programs? Or are some of the vocational schools impacted, whether it's waiting lists or you have to hit certain numbers and the extracurricular stuff and all those other things that the traditional four-year colleges and universities are looking for? Are the vocational schools now in that arena as well?
I think that what's changed is that the vocational schools or the vocational programs, I think that many of them are impacted. The demand is pretty high, right? The demand is pretty high. And also the the type of student or the skills that a student needs to be successful in a vocational program it's pretty high. It's pretty high because if you think about it, even in manufacturing, construction, the use of technology, the amount of technology that is needed to just do the work is pretty significant. And so, you know, having a solid understanding of math and sciences.
Math, physics, chemistry, all those things that you think of traditionally as being college bound.
Yes.
Perhaps that'll be redefined as life bound.
Yeah. I think that what's great about that is that for those students who may not be thinking that the four university is for them or may not be for them, is that if they know that there's a practical application for that algebra class that I'm taking, that there's that hook, then the motivation stays there rather than how am I going to, because that's one of the perennial questions, right? Well, how am I going to use this in life, right? Well, let me tell you how you're going to use this in life.
Yeah.
No matter what you do.
Well, and that's where the good teachers step up.
Yeah.
I didn't have one for geometry. The only thing I remember from geometry, other than T's, the letter T, right, and you had the arguments, is a 3-4-5 triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Which results in a 90 degree.
Well, I'm glad you held on to that information.
That's it.
At least.
Yeah. I suppose that's the challenge with any teacher. You know, if I'm teaching history, purple passion about history.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, but realistically, from the kid's perspective, what are the critical ingredients here that they should gain?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go to a convention, I presume it's very similar to me. Okay? If you get away with two rock solid, can implement them ideas, it's been a heck of a conference or a convention. Okay, now you project that into a classroom setting.
Yeah.
For a high school kid. Well, if they only come away with one or two things after 6 months, that's not really doing what you need to.
Yeah.
But from the teacher's point of view, what's the one thing this week or the one thing today that could be taken away that establishes that fundamental foundational knowledge?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a little too esoteric?
I don't think so. And I think it involves teachers being familiar with what is the next step for this student? You know, like what does the continuum look like all the way from TK or pre-K all the way through post 12th grade? You know, so for our high school teachers, for example, you know, working in the sciences, math and science, what is that? Like, where is the connection between the work that I'm doing with students in the classroom and what the demand is in the workforce? What are the skills that are needed, right? So it's really important to have that connect, because not only is it going to be good for the student that they have those skills and they're ready, but it's also good for the teacher to be able to get that hook for the student and say, you know, Brian, the reason that we're doing this today is we're building this foundation for you to be able to blankety blank, and this is what it looks like in the workplace.
I think I bored you with everybody's favorite radio station, right? No, it's not KINS, but it is, okay. WIIFM.
WIIFM.
What's in it for me?
Yeah.
You can personalize it
and
focus it on what they need and they want. I think you hit a home run every time.
Yeah.
And if you try to do the broad sweep, there's a lot of swinging and missing.
And that's what it comes back to, the importance of having that relationship with every child, right? Knowing what their interests are, that's what the key is.
You're good. Don't hurt yourself with your brain today.
I'm feeling wrecked.
Yeah. See everybody tomorrow.